The Walking Dead Girl Podcast, episode 37. Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com, or you can leave a comment on our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Currently, we are reviewing, finally, Season 4, Episode 1, and it's called 30 Days Without an Accident. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. Don't say we didn't warn you.
I'm excited.
I know, I'm so excited. We just watched the episode a second time.
We've just finished watching the episode. It aired like about 2 or 3 hours ago for the first time. And
since we're on the West Coast, we got to see it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we saw it around 6 p.m. But okay, so describe like your excitement before watching this episode, leading up to it.
Like, I could not wait to watch it. Like, that's all I've been thinking about. And I've been thinking, oh, how am I going to be able to last a week till Sunday to watch it again, seriously, because it's so addicting. And I was just really excited to watch it and record this podcast. Ugh.
Yeah, so we're excited to bring you guys our first impressions of the show. And also, we're going to, just like previous episodes, we're going to walk through the whole show and yep, comment and talk about it. Also, at the end of our discussion, we're going to ask you guys some questions, ask you for some predictions
for the next episode,
and we're looking to get your feedback, and we'll play them on the air. Mm-hmm. And compare to see if the predictions came true.
Yep.
And
so yeah, we did have our party a little.
Yeah, we had a little party here. We had a viewing party with Jasmine.
A couple of your friends. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of our close friends came, and it was really fun.
And it's more exciting watching it with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah,
you get to comment, and
yeah, you guys all get to react and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's fun. The beginning of the show
started off with basically Rick the farmer.
Yes.
In the opener scene, we see Rick come out, you know, douse himself in some water, put on his headphones, play some country music, and start hoeing away in the little garden that they have set up there in the yard of the prison.
Okay, so it's evolved.
Yes, this time place takes place a winter after the third season.
About six or seven months.
Yeah.
After, and the group settled in. But one thing I found surprising was, like you said, Rick is listening to music on an iPod.
Yeah, that's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, wait, where is he getting this music from, and why is he listening to it? That's not Rick. He's not like chill.
Yeah, he has an earbud on, and I'm just wondering, like, how did they get electricity to
charge? Yeah, where did this come from?
Get electricity to charge the iPod. I assume it was an iPod. They didn't show it, but
I don't know where did they come from. Maybe the generators are still working, and maybe they had like an outlet, and they plugged in like, you know, a charger for an iPhone or something.
Yeah, I think they have some electricity, because later on in the episode we'll see other electronic devices that they want to get a hold of, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first thing. It's like, what? They have music?
How long were those generators last? They just had to keep getting gasoline, right, to fill them up?
Which is tough. I mean, eventually all the gas is going to run out in the area, right?
Yeah.
And talk about the walker on the fence with the scary eyes.
Yeah, okay. So while, you know, Rick was there acting like a farmer, he took out his earbuds because he found a gun in the ground, buried in the ground. I don't know how that gun got there.
That's another mystery, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. And then once he takes out the earbuds, we actually get to see, now we know why he had the earbuds in, you know, because of all the moans of the walkers that are at the fence. And there's a lot of walkers at the fence, you know, and they didn't really look like they were doing, or like the group was doing anything about it at the time. And we see this one walker that really stands out, because I call him the eye walker, because his eyes are really gross. It's like they're half gouged out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they're sucked out.
Like he's bleeding from the eyes.
Yeah.
And but
bleeding from the eyes. Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm. And you notice that the walker doesn't have decay. He's not decayed like the other walkers.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't look very decayed. Yeah.
I mean, he has blood and everything, but he's not decayed like
as to the extent of the other walkers, like, where they're like, just like skeletons almost.
Right, right, right. So it looks. So it's probably a freshly dyed person.
Yeah.
And that reminds me. I just reminded me that walker is the same as the other in the last scene. Similar.
Yep.
So I'm not going to spoil it right now. Let's wait till you get to that scene. But yeah, that's
what's a lot going of on. Foreshadowing. This whole episode is a giant foreshadow.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I guess. Yeah.
We'll see why.
Later. Well, and according to what we heard on The Talking Dead, which aired after, a lot of things that are starting in this episode are going to be
increasing,
building on top of them.
Get worse
for the next episodes, and so. I guess they're planting the seeds for the next episodes in the first one, which is kind of exciting. Can't wait.
So in the next scene, we get to really see the whole farm set up when we see Carl, you know, coming down from the prison and saying...
Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, nothing to say?
I was going to say that we didn't... I know you mentioned it, but the gun that Rick
threw... Yeah, the gun was in there.
He found the gun, but that... Rick is not carrying a gun.
Yeah, he's not carrying a gun.
He doesn't care about guns and bullets anymore.
He's a farmer. He's taken to the farmer life. And this is really surprising when I first saw this. It's so exciting talking about the show because I first saw it, so I get to like relive it again. Like, I don't know, whatever.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh. And it was really surprising to me to see Rick and Carl's relationship and how much it changed over 7 months because they act and look like a real son and father kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because Carl's like, oh, why didn't you wake me up? He's like, oh, because I knew you stayed up all night reading comic books with a flashlight. Mm-hmm. Like, how like normal does that sound?
Yeah, pretty normal.
And it's kind of ironic because the whole show is based off a comic book.
Yeah. And they start talking about the pig.
Yeah, which Carl named Violet. And mm-hmm. then Rick said, oh, we shouldn't name pigs because they're our food. And, you know, he's still being a father to him. I like how Carl respects him.
And Carl's like, well, we can name them until, you know, we kill them.
Yeah.
And eat them. But until then, they're pets. But Violet is pretty sick, apparently.
Yeah. It's a sick pig.
Yes.
Sick. Foreshadowing.
We don't know why. Why is the pig sick?
Yeah.
Could this mean something? I don't know.
We will never know until
I think it definitely means something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we're going to... Yeah, we'll get into it later. Mm-hmm. And then we go to another scene that's also really interesting and surprising. As we see Daryl walk through the camp or like the prison, and they have
the cantina
that they call it, and it's really drastically different because there's flower pots around. You know, everyone there's a lot of people around for one thing, and then it seems like Daryl is pretty popular with the locals because everyone's like, "Hi, Daryl! Hey, Daryl!" And he's just like, hi. And he's not really, he doesn't seem like he's really, you know.
There's somebody there called Dr. S.
Who's that?
I don't know. Because Daryl says, hey, Dr. S. I don't know who Dr. S is, but.
Yeah. And, you know, and we see Carol at the, you know, little stove there. They have like adobe brick stove. You see that? It was made of like adobe.
Okay.
And I
don't know how they did that. But.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And she's like, oh, remember, I liked you first because she notices how everybody's like, you know, really nice.
Daryl's like, oh, stop.
Yeah, he's really humble about it, you know? He doesn't, he's not used to the fame. And now you may be thinking, why is he so famous? Why is everyone like this?
Because he's...
kind of the new leader?
Well, he is the new leader, and he's also been letting people in...
Saving people's lives, basically.
He's been going around saving people and bringing them to the prison. So, yeah, I mean, in the previous season, at the end of it, we saw a busload of people from Woodbury.
That Rick brought over.
But apparently
throughout the winter,
you know, they've been bringing people in.
Yeah. So. And, you know, even when, Carol says that, oh yeah, you brought them in over the winter. So they kind of look up to you. They kind of respect you. And Daryl's like, well, you know, Rick brought some in too, but Carol's like, yeah, but not recently.
Yeah.
So that kind of like signifies to us that, oh yeah, Rick is really taking a step back from the whole leadership role, mm-hmm. or at least in the missions.
Yeah, and there's one character, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick. We meet this new character, Patrick, who apparently is the voice actor for Phineas and Ferb on Disney.
Yes, that's kind of our trivia of the moment.
Trivia!
Shortcut.
Yeah. And so we get to see him, you know, basically thanking Daryl for bringing in that deer the other day. And says, can I shake your hand? And Daryl's like, okay. Licks his fingers because he was eating and shakes his hand. And Patrick's like, oh, yeah.
That was so cool. Daryl's like, yeah, whatever. And starts licking his fingers and then shakes his hand. He's like, oh, that's disgusting.
But, I know, but they don't care.
Cool at the same time.
Because Patrick really doesn't care because he likes Daryl for who he is because he's that cool. You know, and really thanking him for getting deer. He's been doing that forever.
I'm sure there's women across America, they're like, I don't care if he licks his fingers. He'll shake my hand anytime.
Exactly. That's pretty much the boy version of that. And
yeah, so that was kind of fun.
And we see
the walkers. Yeah. So then remember you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of walkers on the fence.
Yeah.
Well, apparently
they get out crews mm-hmm. that go on shifts, I guess, to really clear and cut down
people from the prison.
Yeah, people from the prison to cut down on the walkers. And it seems like what Carol was talking to Daryl is like, oh, yeah, they've been doing that throughout the winter and that they noticed that they're coming in hordes. They're not spread out anymore. Like they're grouping together.
Yeah, and in one spot. And so basically what they do is they have three or four people against the fence with long poking sticks.
Yeah, anything that is really pointy. Mm-hmm.
And as every walker comes to the fence, they would jab it.
And they seem to like stack up against the fence too.
Yeah, I guess that could be bad because then there's just a pile of them against the fence. But
I'm pretty sure after they clear them all out, they burn the bodies, right?
You think they go out and drag them away? And
I mean, that's
them?
What they were doing before.
They can't, but there's so many out there.
That's true.
They can't, so they're just piling
and you
up.
See how the fence is kind of reinforced by like tree.
Yeah, they have some
trees,
yeah.
mm-hmm. like little wood pieces.
Mechanical braces. Yeah, well, braces, just wooden braces. And then we see a scene with Glenn and Maggie.
Yeah, and they basically waking up in their nice little house. Or cell. And basically Glenn,
they have a little, did you notice a little crocheted?
Yeah. Kind of bringing a little bit frame. Of the farm yeah. over. I noticed that too. That's what I was thinking.
It's like, oh, this cute little crochet
home thing. Sweet home.
Over the door, next to the door.
And we get to really see what Glenn is feeling. You know, he says, oh, I don't want you guys, I don't want, saying to Maggie, I don't want you to go on the run today. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like, I just want you to be safe. Even though they've been probably doing the runs like all winter and for a while now.
Well, they have the runs. Sorry.
Whatever. Don't mock me.
I was just being immature. You know, the runs, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, God, now I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Glenn doesn't want, you know, Maggie to go out there and put herself in danger.
Why?
Because he's overprotective. I don't think he's overprotective of her. I think he's just overprotective in general. He's very cautious. And even though they've been doing so well for so long, he's still a little tense about it, I think.
Yeah, that's just the way Glenn is. You know, he just...
He's always been like that. Like in The Talking Dead, they mentioned, how he wouldn't let himself fall in love with Maggie. Like, oh, don't fall in love. Don't fall in love. Okay, now I'm in love. Oh, you know, don't have a child. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, don't go out. Be unsafe.
I have a feeling that they're going to have a child.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense to have one because, I mean, Rick has a baby, for crying out loud, and they're taking care of it. So why can't both of them take care of it?
But look what happened to Lori. She died.
Yeah, that's true. No medical attention. No professional baby delivering services.
I mean, now they have Herschel, but who knows in 9 months where they're going to be.
Yeah. And it sounds like they have other doctors there, too.
Yeah, Dr. S.
Whoever that Dr. S is.
Maybe he's just like, I don't know, a psychiatrist.
S for psychiatrist.
No, or psychiatrist a historian. PH. you know, like.
Like professor, doctor, professor.
Yeah.
And we see that there's another couple, Tyrese and.
It's like everybody's hooking up. Mm-hmm. Like everyone hooked up over the winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's cold. You got to cuddle up with somebody.
Whatever.
Tyrese and.
Cover up with the dead.
Tyrese and Karen.
Yeah, Karen was, and we know Karen from Woodbury, who was really one of
she
the
most... She had a minor part in Woodbury.
Yeah, but she was one of the most one of the more outspoken Woodbury citizens.
Yeah.
And whatever. Okay, she was the last surviving of the whole, you know, governor thing where mm-hmm. he shot up the whole freaking town. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, they have a thing for each other. And then we also get to see what Tyrese is feeling. And I feel like every, you know, every time we switch to a new group of characters, it's like oh, they're building the story for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Like for Tyrese, his problem is, oh, I don't like, you know, killing them at the fence, because when you're out in the wild, you're doing it, you know, you don't really see them as people, you see them as threats. But when you're doing this face to face, you know, just stabbing them, you get to kind of remind yourself that, oh yeah, these people were people once. These zombies were people once. Mm-hmm. So it makes it harder.
Yeah.
So.
And so Karen is on the fence killing the walkers. And he says, you know, I don't want to do the fence thing. I want to go out on the road, because when they're up against the fence, I can see them face to face. It's hard for me. And she goes, Karen goes, well, you were volunteering to do the fence thing. And he goes, yeah, well, I just did it to be with you.
Oh, God.
Side by side. Try to get to know you better.
Well, you got to know me.
Now go out and kill zombies.
And then we have another love. Right after that scene, we have another scene where Beth, and we meet in this new character, Zach. And he's, I guess, has a thing for Beth. And he apparently is going out on a run, too. And
well, he's going with Daryl and
Sasha and Tyrese and Bob, the new character.
Well, Bob, yeah, volunteers. Because apparently the council said that. So this is the first time we hear about this council.
Yeah, like, what is this council? I don't like this council.
So the council said that, you know, we need to go out on this run or whatever. So
and they need volunteers because they pulled back some group of couple people.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
And then Beth is very cold to him.
Because she doesn't say goodbye. Because he's looking for some, he's like kind of says like, almost kind of like, oh, if I don't get to see you again, here's a goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the guy is really, Zach is really into Beth, but I don't think Beth is like, she seems happy and stuff and not, is kind of teasing him, but not worried too much about the relationship. It seems like he's more into her than she's into
him. She's pretty flippant about the whole thing. Like, oh, well, he's like, oh, you're not going to say goodbye? Nope. Walks away.
Yeah.
And then Daryl's like, wow. What did he say?
It's like a romance novel or something over here.
Yeah, being sarcastic because she was so cold to him. And then we also have a scene where we get introduced to Bob for the first time where he says,
what about Bob?
He's been there for a week. And he says, oh, I want to, you know, take part of the whole run thing. And Sasha was like, well, you know, I want to make sure you know how to work with the team. And then Daryl's like, well, he is an army medic.
Yeah, former army medic, which is kind of comes in handy. It's nice to know how to patch people up.
Yeah, especially in combat.
But Bob has a secret.
A dirty little secret.
It's not a dirty little secret. It's just
a secret.
They all have their problems, but Bob has problems too.
That basically cause
problems later on.
Yes.
And so they go on their run. And as they're about to head out, we see Michonne coming back.
Yay! Because we're back with Herschel. No, well, we're back with Rick farming. And he's talking to Carl still or something like that. And then Michonne comes by. Was he talking to Michonne? Carl was there when Michonne came in.
Yeah, he was just there. And she started whistling. And then Rick told.
Yeah. So
Carl, hey, so-and-so is coming.
This was a cool scene because we see, first of all, Michonne for the first time riding in on a horse. And then Rick opens up the gates and they totally revamped the gates. Like there's the chain link gate. And then there's wooden spikes, kind of like the whole, how Morgan set it up and back in season 3. And then they have these steel doors that are kind of like in a triangle kind of position that open up. Mm-hmm. And they just let them in.
Yeah, it's a good setup. It makes sense.
I like that setup.
Because that's their main entrance. So you can't afford to have walkers at the gates all the time.
Yeah.
So like in the previous season, every time they had to open the gate, they had to kill a whole bunch of walkers, slide the door open, and then slide
quickly
it back
close
in.
Back. Yeah.
It was a pain.
Like, for example, when the door opened, there was a walker by the door, but it got, you know.
Yeah, because it opens outwards. Because it opens outwards. If there's a walker at the door, it would just push him away onto the spikes.
Yeah.
And we see one. Them. Yeah. We see one that gets skewered and it's like, what's going on here?
Just hanging out.
Yeah. Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Which is pretty interesting. And so she comes in and everyone's like, oh, hey, it's Michonne. Like, she's part of the group now, I think.
I think Rick likes Michonne.
Yeah.
He has a thing for her.
Oh, you're back. Are you going to stay?
Yeah. He's like all happy and smiling and everything.
Because she's tough, you know?
I don't know. I think he has a thing with her. There's something going on there.
Let's get it on. I don't know why that song came out of my head.
You're not supposed to know that song.
Whatever. And then Michonne brings gifts. She brings a whole set of comic books for Carl, which he's really excited about. Maybe too excited.
Yeah.
Because I'm still used to the whole old Rick and old Carl. And then she also brings Rick, you know, a little razor.
Electric razor.
And see? She says...
Yeah.
And she says, oh, you're losing the war with your... What did she say?
Your face is losing the war.
Yeah.
And again, you know, an electric razor. Apparently they have electricity.
Yep.
Another sign that they have
electricity. I thought you were going to say, oh, yeah, see, isn't that such an old couple thing to do? Oh, I got you a razor because I thought you might need it. Merry Christmas.
That too. So I think...
Because that's what mom would get you.
Yeah, practical stuff.
Yeah.
You need a razor. Here, shave. She's trying to tell him something. Maybe she likes him better without a beard. But...
okay, we need to stop this right now.
There's things going to happen.
Is this going to be a ship? Are we shipping this?
Yes, I think it's going to happen. This is my prediction. And if any of our listeners want to email us in...
And tell us what they think about the whole thing. Tell us what you think
about the whole Rick and Michonne. I think there's something going on.
I don't want there anything to be going on.
Why?
I like them as individuals.
Individualization.
And Daryl rolls up with the rest of the group who are also about to head out for the run. With his
awesome, awesome motorcycle.
I know. It's like trademark.
And he rolls out and it's like, they have a short chat.
And kind
Michonne, they don't say outright the governor, but we know they were talking about him.
Yeah, they're like, oh, did you find him? She's like, no, I didn't find him. And she's like, well, I've been thinking about, you know, heading out to Macon, seeing how that's going. And then basically, Daryl politely persuades Michonne for the moment not to go because he says, oh, are you sure you really want to go through 70 miles of walkers?
And other unruly people.
Yeah, like that's a long time. That's a long way.
Who knows you're going to run into?
So Machine at the moment is like, okay, fine. And then she says, just as she got there, she's like, okay, well, I'll go on the run with you. And then Carl's like, wait, you're going to leave already? He says, she's like, oh, I'm going to be back. Like
smiling. So Carl likes her too.
Mm-hmm. A new wife.
Mother.
Yeah, I know. And then a wife and a mother. I hear wedding bells.
No, I don't think so. It'll be weird.
Yeah. I don't see Michonne as a wife.
No.
Or a mother.
Mm-mm.
Not happening.
Neither. She's a governor killer. She's
all she exists just to kill the governor.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Right now, that's her only goal in life is to kill the governor.
Yeah,
the governor got away, and she's not going to have that. So here we see the next scene.
Oh, also,
go ahead.
Also, so while they're going out, Rick said he's going to check the snares.
That's how they get their food. Yeah, they put little snares.
So that's his job.
Yeah.
And then this leads into a scene that we have a little clip for.
Well, first of all, he tells Carl, you know, go read a book or something.
Go read some comics, go read a book, you know, go to the storytelling time.
It reminds me of what I tell you guys.
Go read a book.
Whenever you say, I'm bored, go read a book.
And Carl's like, no, I don't want to go to story time. He's like, it's for kids. He's like, yeah, you're a kid, so go.
Well, Carl's is fighting between being a kid and being an adult.
Yeah.
So he has a dilemma.
But he still respects his father, so he still listens to him, even though he might not agree.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a scene where Rick's chatting with Herschel for a brief moment, and here it is.
Nothing wrong with staying close, Rick. Everyone understands. You're growing us enough food so we won't need to do runs soon. But we do have to find you a good pair of overalls. You need to look the part. A little piece of wheat out of the corner of your mouth. Maybe a bigger ass.
Yeah.
Listen, rest of the council, Daryl, Glenn, Carol, Sasha, all of them, they wanted me to talk to you. When you go out there, you gotta take your gun.
Easy now. It's just outside the fences. I have my knife. I get in trouble, 6 bullets isn't gonna make the difference.
Rick, we want you to be safe. Bring your gun.
So, yep, that was a little quick little clip there about a discussion, which is very short, but speaks volumes because, first of all, we know who is on the council, which is basically all the original people from the prison.
From season 3.
Yep. Carol, Michonne.
Sasha's on the council, too.
Yeah, Sasha. Tyrese isn't, is he?
No. Daryl, Glenn, Sasha, Carol, I guess Rick and Herschel.
we kind of see a little bit when you know, Sasha was talking to Bob that she's kind of like a leader,
mm-hmm.
at least for
yeah
going on runs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's pretty important character, a pretty important.
Basically,
role.
I think who's on the council are people that are level headed,
yeah,
you know, smart, you know,
and can communicate.
For, and also that are kind of leaders and take charge kind of people. So,
So it's kind of a form of government they're having here.
Mm, yeah.
Which is better than what they had with the governor at Woodbury, which was just one person.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, no longer democracy, more like.
Yeah. I hope in the next few episodes they kind of show us like behind the scenes on the council.
I just don't want it to turn into like a whole, you know, political kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Like,
I don't want to see huge debates like, no, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Let's vote. Yeah,
and yeah, and have like the whole episodes because they can't vote on who for Carl to go out on a run or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't want it to turn into
anyway
some boring political.
Yeah,
thing.
So they talk about the council and they also say that they all basically met up and said, and you notice how Rick is not on that council.
Mm, oh yeah.
So basically, they said, oh yeah, they all voted for me to say to you that you need to carry your gun with you because they all know that your job is to do farming. But sometimes you go outside the wall and you need to bring your gun. And he's like, no, I don't need my gun. I have my knife. And he's kind of like acting like a little child about it, the way he acts. Like he just puts his head down, like,
yeah, it's like
shameful.
Well, just if I'm in trouble, a gun's not going to help anyway.
What are you talking about?
That's what he's kind of said, right?
No, but guns are going to be way helpful. Like you don't, let's say you met somebody who had a gun. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so he's.
So, but I think Herschel understands Rick's role because Rick basically is trying to
put all of his, you know, emotions into the ground, into the soil.
Yeah. And also the reason why he's doing that is because the more food that they can grow, the less they need to go on runs.
Exactly. So right? He's kind of contributing to that, you know?
So he's like, well, the more, yeah, that helps.
And another reason why I think he's not carrying a gun is basically kind of like to show to Carl a little something. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's, you know, to show that, you know, Rick is like different, that he's not so much, he's not more, he's like trying to be more of a father and focusing on that. And so I think not carrying a gun shows less aggression, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's a nod to Lori, you know, because Lori didn't want Carl to be raised with guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Rick realized that, you know, Carl had a gun in season 3 and he killed somebody that perhaps he shouldn't have. And so now he's trying to keep Carl away from guns.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's pretty close. Rick realized that the way he was doing things last season or last time was not working out because Carl ended up killing somebody. A lot of people died, and he turned a lot of people away. You know, and now he's trying to, you know, bring people in mm-hmm. and trying to save his son. So he's doing it in a totally different way by taking this place out, taking himself out of the places, the high position of a leader, no longer a rictocracy. And, you know, focusing more on his son.
Yeah.
And teaching him right from wrong.
So this next scene, we're going to take it all the way to the completion.
Yeah, because we go back and forth between the run and...
And the forest.
Yeah, and the forest.
The snags or whatever. So describe what Rick sees.
Oh, we're going to go through all that? That one first? Okay. So basically, while Rick is on his outing,
snares,
yeah. Yeah, to go look for some, to look what, you know, what did they catch in the snares today? He finds a rabbit and he puts it in a bag, and then he also comes across this other snare that totally failed because it was like, I don't know, like a deer cut in half or something.
Yeah, maybe a walker got to it or something.
Yeah. So then he goes to the third snare, or was it a third snare, or was it just a boar that was just lying there?
I don't know if it was a snare or it was just, yeah, like a boar that was just dying.
Yeah, because
it was breathing heavily.
It was doing the same thing that the pig Violet was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another foreshadowing there, a little similarity. What's up with the animals?
I think there's a connection with the pig and the boar in the forest.
Oh, another theory here. Did you know that pigs are only a couple chromosomes away from, you know, humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we test like drugs and stuff, we test it on pigs because their, you know, bodily structure and functions kind of similar to what we have.
Yeah.
So maybe that's symbolizing something there.
Mm.
That it's happening on pigs, you know, kind of like, you know.
Something's happening to the pigs.
That could happen to humans. If it's affecting the pigs, it could be affecting us.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Oh, science. And
you're taking AP bio in high school, so you should be able to figure all this stuff out no problem, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Supposedly. You got to pass that class to know stuff. And So he sees this boar and he says,
he's about to go get it.
But then he sees this walker come up to it. So he's like, oh, might as well just leave. It's kind of spoiled by now. And he goes and he starts leaving and then he makes a noise. And the supposed walker, quotes, turns around and says, hey, hey, and starts talking. And Rick is surprised because he's like, what? I thought you were a walker, because she does look like a walker. She's really dirty and haggard and stuff, but it's actually a young girl or young woman, and her name is Clara.
Or Claire.
Clara? Claire?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Starts with a C, ends with an A.
Yeah.
And basically, we find out her story, and she sounds like she has an accent, so I'm thinking she's Irish.
So they were on their way to...
Yeah, we find this backstory. Basically, Clara and her husband, Eddie, were, you know, on a connecting flight back to home, but the connecting flight was canceled, probably because, you know, the apocalypse. So they had to stay in the airport terminal.
So she's probably Irish or something.
Yeah, she's probably going back to Ireland or something. Yeah. And, you know, then she's... They stayed...
Probably the Atlanta airport.
Oh my God, okay, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry for interrupting.
And it's fine. And so they stay at the airport terminal for a while.
Like 4 days.
Yeah. And she says, oh, yeah, they slept next to some big marble statues from Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I guess that was.
Is that actually at the airport?
We'll
find out when we go to Waxahachie.
We'll find out when we go to Atlanta in a few weeks. But it was probably just the traveling kind of museum piece or something.
Oh, yeah. They have that airport sometimes.
Sometimes they put up displays. So that was probably what that was, huge marble statues.
And just think about that for a second. Like, you know how in a lot of movies, a lot of zombie movies especially, they sometimes take place in airports. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a lot of people are there and they're stranded.
And that's how basically the disease spreads so fast all over, you know, because, you know, sick people get on planes, either the planes crash or they get down and they're infected and they go and infect other people in other countries and cities and stuff. And... I don't know. I would just like to, you know, if that'd be cool if they had a flashback to what actually happened with her.
They don't do flashbacks.
But that'd be so cool.
So she was talking about how she
the things she had to do. And basically said...
Bad things.
Well, at first, we know about her husband, Eddie, because she's like, oh, please, sir, can you help me take my boar back to my husband?
My boar. The boar.
The boar back to my husband, because we're so hungry and we haven't eaten in days. And he gives her like a little tinfoil full of food. And...
Well, Rick...
Yeah, Rick gives her some tinfoil food, and she's like, thank you. And she says, oh, do you guys have a camp?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, and then he says, yeah. And at this point, I'm like, no, you should have said, no, I don't have a camp, or shoot her on sight to end her miserable existence.
This is a different Rick, remember? It's a different,
I know,
it's a different way of thinking. Yeah. We want to bring people into the camp. The more people we have in the camp, the more we can survive. The better we can survive. And that's kind of... the new direction that everyone's going.
I need a change too. I'm still like stuck in the old ways.
Because before, you know, yeah, kill her or just push her away.
Killed or be killed.
You don't know. We don't have a camp. What camp? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, they kind of have to change that. And, you know, he's like, oh, she's like, oh, can I be a part of that camp? Me and my husband? And she says, he says, you need to answer some questions first. And I think I need to meet.
Three questions.
And I need to meet this Eddie, first of all, too. Because I'm thinking, oh, Eddie. Oh, Eddie's the one that saved her. Because she said, yeah, Eddie basically saved me. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be alive. He had to make me do things that, you know, to survive. And I'm like, oh, yeah, who is this Eddie? Is he like, you know, crazy? Is he, you know, like this big tough guy? Like, I want to know.
And why is she hunting for Eddie? Like, usually isn't it the man who's the strongest one who goes out and gets food and stuff?
Exactly. Why isn't Eddie out there with her? Mm-hmm. And Rick basically says, oh, I want to go see this Eddie. And she's like, okay. And I want to ask you some questions. And
she has a knife, by the way.
Yeah. Cause he's, oh, do you have any guns on you? She's like, no. And then he basically warns her, if you try anything, you know, you're going to lose. And she says, I have nothing to lose. And he said, yeah, you do. Your life, basically. And
what did you think of this woman when you first saw it?
When I first saw her, I'm like, oh, kill her. She's not good. She's bad news bears. And they always do that. They always go on a wild goose chase. At first, I was like, you're wasting your time, Rick. You're wasting your time. Clearly, this woman's insane. She's been out here in the wild for so long. Probably the first person she's seen in like a long time. Just look at her. Like, and it's a really stark contrast. It's like, it reminds him, especially the world outside of their little, you know, sanctuary.
Yeah, the world outside of the prison is pretty bad. And,
this is probably the way most people are living, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like reality. And so they're on their on the forest walk, you know, and kind of like, you know, she's like a ghost and he's just following her with her stories, mystical ways. And
Rick is definitely on a journey with this woman. He's following her and talking with her. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of Rick talking about the problems that he's having internally, right? Because
she's voicing her opinions. Because he says, what kinds of things do you have to do? And he's like, I had to go and, you know, live off of dead carcasses and eat rotten fruit and, you know, kill people. Or not kill people, but like, you know, get rid of people, kind of like leave people and not help people who needed my help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hide from people that needed my help. And she's like, and I wonder if I ever come back from that. Mm-hmm. Can you ever come back from living that way? And I think that's kind of what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Especially.
So Rick is that woman, or Rick could have been that woman, because he went psycho in season 3,
yeah,
right?
But this is because when they went to the camp finally, she's like, oh, it's just a head. You get it? Because it's just a head.
And
we find out that Eddie is nowhere to be seen and actually is just a zombie head.
We don't know what he is. It could be a head or it could be a body plus a head.
Yeah.
Because they don't show it to us.
Yeah, which is new.
They just have a
piece
of
like
canvas
burlap sack or something.
Yeah, burlap sack. And it's moving.
Yeah, but we don't see the head, and we can hear stuff.
It's just creepy. So that would be a good Halloween
prop for your front lawn. Yeah,
like just or not the lawn, just your balcony, whatever porch. Just have this burlap bag and just have it moving. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is inside there. It's just
something moving. So basically, just like I predicted, it was a wild goose chase because there was no Eddie, or there wasn't Eddie, but he doesn't exist anymore.
It was heady.
Yeah. And the Talking Dead, the writer said, yeah, one of the lines in the one, just when they got to the empty campsite, she's like, oh, it's just a head. And, you know, kind of like ironic because it is just a head, you know, like a head.
The camp was a head and there was a head. Eddie was a head.
Yeah. So he chose to leave that in there just because. So he's like, oh, okay, this camp is empty. Who's Eddie? She's talking to some no one.
And all of a sudden, she jumps out and tries to attack him.
She's like, she pulls out a knife and, basically he, you know, reacted really fast and then just like, what are you doing? And every time I watch that scene, it always scares me. You know what I mean? Like when she jumps out, it gets me every time because she's so sneaky. And then
She says, well, I want to be, don't stop me from being like Eddie.
The reason why she brought him here is because
to feed Eddie to feed the head.
Yeah, because he needs something alive.
Alive, yeah.
And he's like, he's starving. Like he's an actual person that needs food. And Rick, this whole time, is horrified. And then she says, you know, if I can't be with him, I want to be like him. So I can be with him. No. Please, it's like, so she has the knife and she's going to stab herself. She says, don't finish me off. Leave me. And basically stabs herself in the stomach. And he's like, no.
And Rick's freaking out.
Yeah. And then
all this time, Rick has a gun pointed at her, by the way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't blow her head off. But he's also emotional. Like he cries. He cries a bit. And, you know, I think he feels like, well, there's one person I could have almost saved, but I didn't.
Yeah. And I think I think he was crying more because that could be him.
I don't think he's crying because of that. I think he's crying because, well, it's my opinion, is because he wanted really to save her. He wants to save a lot of people.
Yeah.
And bring them to the
camp. But he can't save everybody.
Yeah.
And yeah, so while she's like dying, she asks him, oh, what were your three questions? And then while still really sad and starts crying, he says, how many walkers have you killed? She said, Eddie killed all of them. And then he says, how many people have you killed? And she says, just myself, just me. And then he asks why. And she says, you can't come back. Can't come back.
Yeah.
Basically reiterating what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
you do bad things, you can't come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have to kill myself.
Now let's talk about those questions for a second.
How many walkers have you killed? Okay.
How many people have you killed?
And why?
And why did you have to kill those people? And if you remember from season three, remember that telephone call back when, you know, Rick was cuckoo?
Yep.
Remember how that person on the phone asked him how many people he killed?
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, I had to kill people. And then they're like, why? And then he says, well, because they're endangering.
You don't know what it's like. Yeah.
Yeah. So Interesting.
But really, the questions are kind of a filtering mechanism to see, you know, who comes into the group.
Yeah, they're really, it's not about what the answer is. It's about how you answer them. It's more like if they kind of see some kind of suspicion, then it's easily rule them out. Like, for example, if they said, oh yeah, I've killed a lot of people and their reason for doing it is not really, you know, makes sense or really what their morals fit, then they're like, no, okay, yeah, that's like, you failed the first test in getting into the group.
Yeah, but you could always lie.
That's true. But that's why there's only one test. That's just the first test.
How many walkers have you killed? Tons, man. I'm the walker killing monster machine.
Yeah.
How many people have you killed? None. So there, you mean I could answer, there I go. Did I pass the test?
Like, why did you not kill those people?
Because I've never been in a situation where I had to kill people.
But you can kind of say by, oh, you killed tons and kind of tell that he enjoys it. A little bit of psychopath.
So it's not good to kill a lot of walkers? I don't know.
Without any remorse or any, like, I think the right answer would be, yes, I've killed a lot of walkers, but it had to be done because I was protecting myself.
Yeah.
Have you
killed
any
people? Yes, because I was protecting myself. I don't know.
Why?
Yeah, it's just weird because you could easily fake answers to these questions.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's not the only way to get in, and Dad, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of more things you have to do to be part of the group.
It sounds like one of those things, you know.
It's like a club.
You will not come into this prison unless you answer these three questions.
Exactly.
It's kind of silly, but okay, whatever. It seems okay for now. We'll have to see if anybody else answers these questions and if they get rejected or accepted based on their responses.
Yeah.
We'll see. So that was a dead end. Rick couldn't save the woman.
And I think he saw himself. Now, when I say I think he saw himself in that lady, I think it's because when Lori, and this is when he went back to the camp, he talked to Herschel while holding little baby Judith. She's so grown up now, or like a little bigger than she was before. She's so adorable. He's like, That could have been me if I lost Lori and Carl, you know? Mm-hmm. I was almost there. Remember when that time when Rick was just out in the, you know, outside the fence, just, you know, chasing ghosts? That could have been him.
Yep. And Herschel said, no way. That'll never be you.
Because you got your son back.
You came back and, you know, that'll never be you. No matter what happens, you get to come back.
Because everybody deals with their problems differently.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm excited to talk about my favorite scene of all ever is...
Probably the best scene of all in history.
Not in history.
Well, for like Walking Dead.
I think the Walking Dead series, as far as walker attacks and stuff, this is the most interesting and most creative.
And actually most, you know, kind of dreamed about fantasy kind of thing. Like, come on, walkers coming out of the ceiling, that's awesome. Like, you think of that in like a book or something.
And it was basically Daryl and his crew, so they come to this area,
which is a supermarket, like a kind of like a Walmart or something, and there's fences around it. And basically Daryl quickly explains to us that shortly after the apocalypse started, they set up fences and the army set up a perimeter, basically, you know, helping like a refuge site. And then they checked back a couple of weeks ago and there were just walkers inside. So they've been overrun. So yeah. What Sasha and the group did was basically drew the walkers out through music in a boombox hooked up to like two car batteries, mm-hmm. that basically drew them out. And so they came back to just, you know,
to clear it out.
Waltz in. Yeah. And we go through, and then they go through the whole perimeter and we see a lot of dead people that like looks like they've been there a while.
Yep.
And then we finally get to the front of the store and there's this funny scene where Daryl, like, you know, knocks in the glass just to draw out the few walkers that are already in there. So there's no surprises. And Zach, you know, says to Daryl, I think I figured it out. Figured out what you did before the apocalypse. Mm. And then he's like, oh, here we go. You've been doing this for 6 weeks. And he says, yeah, because, you know, I want to get it right. One chance a day. And he basically says, well, you're on the council and you like helping people and you're really good at tracking. I'm thinking you are a homicidal cop.
Homicide cop, yeah.
a detective, homicidal detective. And then Michelle...
Not homicidal.
No, homicide.
Homicide. Homicidal means someone...
Yeah, I know. Homicide cop or homicide detective. And Michonne laughs at this because she's like, yeah, that's Daryl. Okay. And Daryl's like, why not? Yeah, I actually did that. I was undercover, you know? And then Zach is like, for real? He's like, yeah.
But I can't talk about it because there's some heavy stuff that went down.
Yeah, like real poker face. Like Daryl masters the poker face.
Yep. We should have played that audio clip.
You want to play it?
Two audio clips in an episode?
Season 4 premiere, come on.
Oh my God. Put it up. Are we allowed to do that?
YOLO.
No, we'll leave it.
Oh, don't deny.
Don't deny Guerrera.
That's your joke, huh?
Yes, that's my joke.
Don't deny Guerrera. Okay, anyway.
Okay, I think I got it.
Got what?
Oh, I've been trying to guess what Daryl did before the turn. I was trying to guess for like 6 weeks.
I'm pacing myself. One shot a day.
All right, shoot.
Well, the way you are at the prison, you know, you're being on the council, you're able to track, you're helping people, but you're still being kind of surly. Big swinger. Homicide cop.
So funny.
Nothing. It makes perfect sense.
Actually, the man's right. Undercover.
Come on, really?
Yep. I mean, I don't like to talk about it because it's a lot of heavy shit, you know?
Dude, come on, really? Okay. I'll just keep guessing, I guess.
Yeah, you keep doing that.
Yeah, so there was that scene. And then, when the walkers came out to the window, there was this one walker, the girl walker, that looked really creepy, though. Like, it was on point. Like, her teeth, like, she had no lips, and her teeth were like, she looked scary. I don't know. I thought that was really intense. And then they take out the walkers, and then basically... What's her name? Sasha is like, okay, so here's a plan. Everybody knows what they need to get. Stay information. Any questions? And then Tyrese is like, when are you not the boss of me? And she's like, a few years before you were born. Yeah. Or before I was born. And they go in. And then Bob hangs back and looks at this half body and then goes in. And then we see, then the camera, like,
pans up
and out to show the roof of the building where a helicopter has crashed. And there are like dozens of walkers on the roof.
Yep.
How did it get there?
That's a good question.
Because I'm thinking, oh, maybe they were survivors that stood on the roof and the helicopter was going to go help them.
Yeah.
And then it crashed.
Yeah.
And then everybody died and just reanimated.
That's what happened. Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. On point. Point for Jasmine. Woohoo. High five.
Yeah. they were survivors and they were trying to be airlifted out, probably.
Yeah.
So... in the shopping
center
store, whatever that is, we see, Glenn picking up a digital camera.
Or like, yeah, well, it was some kind of camera.
And then he sees pictures of babies.
And he kind of looks distasteful.
Like
he looks at them like, ugh.
Babies.
Ew, babies.
And it's because, yeah, we find out later as he talks with Maggie about the baby situation. And then we see Michonne runs into... cardboard walker monster.
Yeah, and she totally just like, you know,
sliced through the
cardboard box monster. Like she takes out cardboard boxes, like, wow. I know.
She doesn't like walkers, anything, period. And then an interesting scene with Bob.
We discover Bob's character a little bit, and as he passes like this wine.
Bob is a recovering alcoholic,
as we can see, because he passes by this wine and beer shelf, and he's like, better not. But then he goes back and, you know, takes a bottle
of wine
and struggles between putting it and hiding and then not putting it away and then putting it away. So he does the right thing for the moment and puts it back on the shelf. And for some reason, the shelf was super delicate and everything started crashing down. And that led to the shelf falling on top of him, which led to the other shelf falling on top of him. which leads to walkers falling out of the ceilings.
Because the walkers hear the noise and they start going towards that same area.
Yeah.
And then the floor was weak.
And there was hints of the floor or the ceiling being really weak because, you know, there's water been dripping from the ceiling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, water damage. So it's pretty like loose and, you know, moist. And yeah, so that draws the walkers towards the site of the helicopter where the ground is already, you know, pretty fragile because there's a helicopter on it. And the floor gives way and the walkers start falling out of the ceiling into the supermarket where our heroes are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one of the craziest scenes I've seen because it's the first walker that goes through, you know, goes through and hangs by his intestines from the ceiling. Oh, that was God. The best scene ever. God.
There's like a cable or a wire or something was holding him from his intestines. That was pretty disgusting. And then a bunch of other ones, this other one fell on his head and just like
exploded
on the floor. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, and they felt like, you know, bricks and like sandbags. They're like,
most of them felt softly and they started walking around the store. A lot of them, you know, injured themselves when they fell and stuff, broke their legs. But it was chaos because everybody was saying, oh, well, there's walkers. And they start shooting and everything. And Bob was still trapped under the
Everyone
the
just
rack.
Like for the moment, everybody just forgot about Bob because they were helping him until the walkers started falling through the ceiling. And it's like the writers thought, okay, how can we make this group who is totally careful and cautious about, you know, every mission they do, how can we screw it up for them?
Yeah.
Walkers fall through the ceiling. Boom.
Yeah. Just all of a sudden.
Out of their control kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what the intent is of this new season. I think they said that they were trying to put everyone in more jeopardy because killing walkers is pretty easy now.
Yeah, but this season they said they wanted to make it more, the walkers more prevalent, more dangerous. And we saw that in one scene where, during that supermarket scene where Glenn basically is, you know, a walker's on top of Glenn. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to, you know, get them off of him.
And there's one on his leg.
And there's one of his leg. And he looks like he's going to bite his leg because his mouth is open and he's like, ah. And then we don't even see the gun, but Glenn grabs a gun from behind him and shoots him and like, oh, he's okay.
For a moment there, I thought Glenn was going to get it.
Yeah.
It was Glenn's goodbye.
I'm like, oh my God, no, they couldn't do that. They can't do that.
That'd be horrible.
I think they're no longer going to kill main characters, but they're just going to kill off new characters.
I don't think so. They're going to kill main characters.
Because from season 1 and 2, they killed a lot of main characters.
And 3.
Yeah.
So, but someone does get it, and that's Zach.
Dun, dun, dun!
Good thing Beth didn't say goodbye to him.
Yeah, good thing she didn't have any emotional attachments.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so I don't know how he died, but he was just walking by.
He was taken off and then just someone grabbed him by the leg.
And bit off his calf.
That's usually how everyone gets it.
Yeah.
You'd think by now they would know to have like shin guards or something.
Some of them did.
Like protection. I think Glenn did.
Yeah, Glenn did.
Protection on their legs.
So it wasn't as easy to rip off the flesh.
Yep.
But oh my God, the graphics, the makeup on that was amazing. Because he went for his leg and that's like, splash of blood. And then he took him down, right? And then the walker climbed up and bit his neck and ripped out his throat, man. His jugular and blood was all over his face, going over his mouth. And oh my God, it was so gross. Looks so real.
And poor Zach got it. And just as everything was going down, the helicopter starts crashing.
Falling through the ceiling.
Through the ceiling.
Like, really made sure that, you know, Zach died.
Yeah. So the helicopter crashed right through and everybody ran out. Just in time. Yeah. That was close.
That was an awesome scene.
Yeah, I would totally watch that scene over and over again.
Uh-huh. It was really just done really well. It's like you didn't know when the walkers were going to stop falling through the ceiling.
Yeah, they kept coming through.
And I like how there was a beer commercial right after the scene where, what's it called? Bob, you know, knocked down the wine, the beers and stuff. And I really like the scene where Daryl uses his crossbow. Like he's just like, shoot, shoot.
With one hand too.
With one hand, you know, and then he
climbs. One-handed crossbow. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he climbs on top of the beers. It's a lot of beer in that store. And then, you know, he sees the helicopter coming down.
Yeah, that was intense.
They do save Bob, by the way.
Oh yeah, Bob saved.
Yep.
Oh, with a nice. There was two. That scene was full of cool zombie effects.
Oh, that's how Zach died because he was helping Bob get out.
Yeah, maybe. And then so there was one walker that was crawling towards Bob, which had his feet broken.
Oh yeah.
And then, but he had like a slash through his head. crackhead walker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob was like grabbing his head and like ripping it off.
Why was he doing that? Was he trying to push it away or was
probably,
he just...
Probably, yeah.
Because his head, his skull came off really easily. Mm-hmm. Like another one of the walkers fell down from the ceiling and it landed and his back and head hit the ground. But then when he got up, his skull was still, like his scalp was still stuck to the ground. Like it ripped off. That was so gross.
Man.
Major decay, man.
And then Daryl grabbed that walker that was going for Bob and just...
Head stomps him.
Yeah. Curb stomped him. And you see all the splashing blood hits the camera.
Ooh, so gross.
So they made it out alive.
Woohoo.
And then we go back to the prison on the aftermath.
Yes. Also, there was also an important scene with Carl and the kids. So there's kids in this prison, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know about that. This is going to be interesting.
I don't like this, okay? Because I don't like these kids. Because this is why. So there's a group of kids, three girls, a little boy, and... they're all naming the walkers outside the fence that are just hanging around, like they're pets or something.
Yeah.
And Carl and Patrick come up and Carl's like, what are you doing? Naming them. He's like, they were people. They're not people anymore. They're dead. He's like, no, they're not dead. They're just different. Oh, I was just like pissed off. Like, really? Really, kid? Really? They're just different. Oh my God. And then Carl's like, oh, have you ever seen someone turn into one? And she's like, yeah, I did. Then you should know that they're no longer people and they try to kill you. Oh, God, these girls are so ignorant.
Yeah, and Carl is kind of like the Rick, or he's
kind of like the leader of the kids.
The leader of the kids, whatever kids are left over, actually. And then Patrick was there, too. And the girls were asking Patrick, are you coming to story time? And he's like, yeah, I am.
And then Carl's like, really? And then Patrick's like, yeah, I know it's a little immature, but...
I go, you wouldn't like it. So what do you think of the whole having kids there?
Well...
it's a different dynamic.
It's a different dynamic. I don't know. It's too soon to tell. I just don't like those kids because they're too bratty.
The fact that they're, you know...
ignorant about the fact that walkers aren't friends. Walkers. I have a feeling that, for real though, if a zombie apocalypse was to break out, I think all the white girls would be like, oh, trying to find a zombie boyfriend, just like in Warm Bodies, that movie. Remember? That's what I think.
Do you think there's a connection between Carl naming the pig and the girls naming the zombies?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Well, maybe for them, because they looked a little younger than, you know, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's their kind of pets, you know, as like the pig for, you know, Carl is their pet, you know, for them, it's the walkers. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing you can do about it. Kids will be kids, right?
Yeah. I mean, what else are they going to do?
So we,
and I also feel like that for kids, it's a lot easier to adjust to the apocalypse because they've grown up in it. And I feel like the adults have to, you know, adjust more. Like for the kids, they live it, right? So they're mm-hmm. born with it. So it's really easy. But for the adults, I feel like they have to adjust.
Well, just like
to adjust to the changes.
Like, yeah, just like kids and technology these days.
Yeah. You see a baby knows how to work an iPad faster than a grandma can.
Yeah. Old people have to get used to, you know, all this new technology and Facebook and all these social networks where the kids have adopt a new thing every week, right?
Yeah, because they're at that time where, you know, learning, they're absorbing a lot of stuff, so it's easier to learn things. Mm-hmm. But for adults, it's like you can't teach a dog new tricks, dog new tricks.
But this is their new world. This is the world that they live in, and this is they grew up in this world, so they're used to it.
Yeah, that's why it's so hard for Tyrese to really, you know, kill walkers, you know. When for probably Carl, it's a lot easy because he's been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
He grew up with that.
So talk a little bit about the scene where Carol's reading a story.
Yeah, so we actually get to find out what this mysterious story time is and why it's so popular with the children. It's like the in thing. And so Carl decides to visit it. And so Carl is reading a book. And as the adult leaves after a while, she's like... Carol's reading. And when the adult leaves, one of the adults leave, she's like, okay, closes the book, takes out this box and it says, hey kid, go on lookout. And she says, okay kids, today we're going to learn about knives, how to use them and where to use them. And she brings out this tray of knives and starts, you know, showing him and the kids and stuff. And then Patrick's like, can I be excused? And she's like, well, you know, you're going to have to learn how to use knives. You can't be a sissy about it. But he's like, no, actually I need to leave. I'm feeling kind of sick. I don't want to yak over everybody. So she tells him to leave, which is very important, by the way, foreshadowing there. And then Carol realizes that Carl is there. And just because he's the son of Rick, she says, oh, don't tell Rick.
Don't tell your father.
Yeah, don't tell your father, because...
Basically, it's a secret. She's not supposed to be doing that.
I don't know why it's so bad. I think kids need to be educated on how to protect themselves. And it goes back to the kind of how, you know, Lori was kind of, you know, tentative about, you know, letting Carl have a gun. And I think the reason why she's keeping it a secret, because if the parents found out, like if the council brought it up to the parents of these children, they'd be like, no, I don't want my kid using a knife, even though when they should be.
We don't even know if they have parents.
That's true.
We don't even know if they're alive. Maybe the kids are just being taken care of by the group, you know. They're not real parents, so we don't know. But
it takes a village to raise a kid or something.
But talk about, what do you think Carol...
Why Carol's doing this?
Yeah, why?
Well, as you already know, Carol had a daughter, Sophia, and she got separated from the group and ended up turning into a walker. And I think part of the reason why Sophia died was because she wasn't prepared. You know, if Sophia had the training that Carl did now, she probably would have made it out alive out of that forest.
If Sophia knew how to use a knife.
Yeah, especially because she would have been able to defend herself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what kind of Carol is trying to do. She's trying to make up for the guilt that she has about, you know, not really, you know, teaching her daughter in time and how to handle herself. So she's making up for it by teaching the rest of the kids how to handle themselves. So if they're ever in a position like that, they can protect themselves and live full lives. Yep. So that's, I think, kind of the reason why she's doing it. Yeah. And I really agree with her on that.
So as we wind down the night, we see the different couples getting together and chit-chatting. And we see Tyrese and Karen, as you mentioned earlier. Tyrese can't handle the fence. And now he walks into the cell and Karen's looking at him like, what's up? And he's like, I don't like going out there either.
Yeah. So now I was like, what is he going to do now? You know?
Exactly. What is
he? What's his place then? Because he's too much of a softie, I think.
Yeah, big teddy bear.
Mm-hmm. And also, we find out that, you know, the pig, when Rick comes back from his little, you know, forest trip with little Clara there, that the pig, Violet, died and is dead.
Violet's dead.
Which is another thing. This pig is dead. And
there could be a connection there.
It could be a connection there, too. And also, Glenn goes to Maggie. Or Maggie, you know, says to, or who is it said? Oh, Glenn said to Maggie, oh, yeah. So Daryl's going to tell Beth about Zach. And Maggie's like, okay, I'll go see her. And then
again, about the baby.
But then she says, oh, I'm not pregnant. And he's like, really? That's so good. He's so happy, right? And she's like, yeah, I know. I didn't want it, but we could have had it.
Yeah.
You know, and
there's two opposite opinions there.
Yeah, because two different perspectives. First, Glenn doesn't want what happened to Lori to happen to her and doesn't think that this is the right world for a baby right now or probably ever. And then, you know, Maggie's like, I don't want to be afraid of living anymore. And he says, well, being afraid is what's keeping us alive. And she says, no, that's what's keeping us breathing. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of that? What do you think that means?
Well, I think that they need to have a baby so that they can have something
to live for.
Hope. Like if you don't have hope, then you don't have...
What's the point of living?
Yeah, you don't enjoy life. Because the whole point of living is to have hope for something that you're moving towards. Like, oh, I'm pregnant. Let's look forward to delivering this baby and growing it.
And creating life.
And creating life and everything. And that's fun and stuff. Or because right now, what are they living for? Nothing.
Yeah, what are they working towards?
They're working towards getting their next meal.
Yeah. And it's kind of barbaric, kind of like, you know, caveman style, just living for like the next meal.
So you got to have something to keep you going or, you know, making the prison better. Like Rick has his farming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Rick's looking forward to being a farmer.
Simple life.
Possibly, you know, that's one thing. Or he has Carl, he has Judith, he has his kids. He looks forward, he has thing to do for them. So, you know, you need something, and I think having the baby is a good idea, like, to keep them sane.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's the danger of, you know, you don't have medical attention. What if something goes wrong?
Exactly. And then we have a scene where Daryl is talking to Beth about, you know,
Zach.
And I like her room. I like how she set up her cell. I think that's just me, because, like, we're both 17. We're both, like, teenagers. Like, put stuff on the walls. Woohoo, quilts. I don't know. I like her jacket. Anyway, besides the whole decor, she looks like she was writing something. And then Daryl's like, oh, Zach didn't make it. And she's like, okay, at least I got to know him when he was alive. And then she walks over to her little
board
that says, you know, I think they used it for factories, you know, and says, this factory had 30 days without an accident. And now she removes three and it's go back to zero.
Yeah. So that's the title of the episode, 30 Days Without an Accident.
Mm-hmm. And Daryl's like looking at her and she's like, what? He's like, oh, well, I was just, you know, tired of losing people. And I think he's more shocked that she's not, you know, crying, because she says, I don't cry anymore, Daryl. You know, it's like, again, this shows that, you know, kids are more adaptable to this situation than, you know, adults would be, because she's pretty cold. You know, she's like, well, she's dead.
She's cold, but she's gone through her growing pains. Because she remembers in the previous season, well, season two, she tried to commit suicide.
And I think that's just part of her character. I think that's just her.
Yeah. Because
she was pretty, you know, like, oh, what's there to live for? You know, she really was pretty straightforward about what she thought and really didn't feel much emotion when she said, oh, yeah, I want to kill myself. There we go. I want to kill myself. And she's pretty, like, driven about that. So it's kind of the same thing, like, oh, he's dead. That's just life.
Yeah. I wonder what she was writing in her diary.
Yeah. Maybe she's crazy. I think everybody in the show is crazy.
You mean just a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be to survive in this kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a really, 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 really interesting scene, because after as everyone is sleeping, we see Patrick come out of his room coughing his head off, you know, dripping in sweat so much that we can see his footprints as he's leaving his cell and goes towards the showers and is probably looks like he has like a really bad fever because he's so sick and hot that he showers with his clothes on, and he's infecting the whole water supply by coughing all over the place. And then he's coughing really, really, really bad.
So at this point, we just think, oh, he's sick.
And he's going to die.
Well, we don't know if he's going to die. But
he
we're just
like it.
He's just, like, when you have a fever, like, yeah, you're cold, true. Like, you just, you know, you're really sick. You don't think you're going to die.
I think I'm going to die every time I'm sick. Like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Well, if they don't, I mean, it seems that he got sick pretty quickly, though. Like, he was sick.
He was fine.
During the story time, he left.
Yeah.
And then at night. So that was a pretty quick gestation.
Process, yeah.
Period.
Yeah, usually when I'm sick, I'm just like, oh, I feel a little weird the first day. Then the second day, I start feeling worse. And the third day, I'm actually sick. So this kind of like was shortened and was really fast and rapid, to the point where he dies because he coughs so much that he just passes out, and then the shower goes on and then turns off. And then we, you know, zoom in on Patrick and he's like blood all over his face. Like, where did the blood come from? Why is he bleeding so much?
From his orifices.
Yeah, like his nose is bleeding, his eyes are bleeding, and then he wakes up and he's a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the episode ends.
So this is what I wanted to connect the dots. At the beginning of the episode, we see the walker, the weird eye zombie, eye bleeding walker looking at Rick. And that's exactly how Patrick looked when he died.
Yeah.
His eyes were the same kind of eyes, and he had blood around his eyes.
And blood coming down his eyes.
And his nose.
And
stuff.
His mouth.
Just like that walker at the fence that was looking at Rick. And I think that's why Rick was looking at him strange, like,
this one looks
walker
different.
Looks different. Like, how did he die?
And the pigs looked sick, and then the pigs died.
Okay, so what's your theory?
My theory of the pigs is that the pigs are being affected because they're really closely related to humans. So they can kind of get the same diseases that humans have, because, you know, some people test, you know, vaccines on pigs. So I think that's why the pigs in general are being affected, because there was a boar in the forest, and then, you know, they focused on the pig here. Why would they focus on two of the same animals, right? So, yeah. So if the pigs are getting affected, maybe the humans can get affected too.
So do you think this is like a typical disease, like the flu or something?
And this is interesting because I remember watching an interview about this person who thought like what could be the major threat this season. And they said disease. And I'm kind of leaning towards that disease, that maybe I was thinking, oh, it's airborne. That maybe the disease is airborne. Like, maybe the virus is airborne. I mean, I know it's in everybody.
You mean the walker virus?
Yeah, the walker virus is in everybody. Like, we already know it's in everybody, but it's not activated until you're dead. Maybe the virus has changed somehow chemically in your body that to a point where...
It makes you sick.
It makes you sick, and then it speeds up the process of dying.
I kind of mentioned that, too, in a previous podcast episode, where my prediction was that, you know, everybody would just die.
Yeah.
In their sleep, or they would just
What I said is that people were going to die in their sleep.
Oh, I was just thinking that people would just suddenly change into walkers.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that, because you're okay, and then you get sick, and then a few hours later, after you die, you turn to a walker. So, yeah. I mean, that's a huge threat, because you don't know who's going to be sick. And then if you're sick, do they have to quarantine you, right? And how does the virus spread? Does it spread through the water supply? Does it spread through the air, through animals, through pigs? Like, who knows? So there's a lot of questions there.
And, you know, imagine that, you having a walker, like a person one moment is okay, then is a walker the next, and you have the cells around that look like they're unlocked, and just have, while you're sleeping, there's a walker around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the recipe for disaster. And that, I think, pretty much wraps up this episode. Oh, season 4, episode 1. Oh, it's over. Now we gotta wait till next Sunday.
So what did you think of this episode?
I really like this episode. I think my favorite part was the helicopter scene. And I know some people, they did not like this episode because it was too slow. But I feel like...
According to the Twitters.
Yeah. And I believe personally that they needed this episode just to like start off. And I feel like, oh, those people are going to take back what they said when, you know, the next episodes come up. Because I feel like they're going to yank this peaceful tranquility away from us.
So before we finish up, I'd like to ask our listeners to give us some, to answer some questions.
Yep. And our first question is
what do you think the role of Tyrese is now that he can't do anything?
Yeah.
He can't be on the fence. He can't go on a run. So what's Tyrese to do? What do you think his role is going to be in the
group?
You know
how Rick is a farmer? What is Tyrese's goal? Yeah.
How is he going to contribute?
Maybe he can provide I'm not going to give an answer. You guys have to answer yourself.
So if you want to give us feedback and answer this question, you can send us email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And another question we have that you guys can answer is, what do you think Beth is writing in her diary?
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe she's writing her love notes to Daryl.
Oh, yeah, because she gave him a hug, and that hug was pretty long.
So what's Beth writing in her diary? That's the next
one. Oh, and another question also... do you think Rick and Michonne are going to become a thing?
I want to know about that too.
I know you do.
Yeah. So what do you think about Rick and Michonne? Are they a couple? Do they have something going on?
Yeah.
Please answer those questions, and we'll read your responses on the air.
Yeah. You can leave them on their Facebook page too, by the way.
Yep.
Also, now that, you know, the Talking Dead is on, and we watch it, they sometimes show us, every episode of The Talking Dead, they show us a little preview of the next episode, like a little snippet of a clip. Let's talk about it.
And they showed us someone with a flashlight.
We don't know who.
Had a rat, and he was feeding it to the walkers at the fence.
And it basically, I think that what they were doing was trying to push the walkers against the fence to make basically like push down the fence.
Yeah, I have no idea what's
going on.
Maybe
that person's been doing that the whole time.
Maybe that's why the walkers are there?
Yeah.
So...
What are your thoughts on that?
What are your thoughts on that? What do you think that... Who could that be? Could it be the governor?
Interesting.
That's kind of weird. I don't know why the governor would do that. That's kind of a weird way of doing things. But, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of what the prisoner did that one time.
Yeah, the one that they let go.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor, but someone is feeding rats to the walkers, and who is it? We'll find out in the next episode.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please share this podcast with your friends. We appreciate any feedback that you might have. You can also send email feedback, like we said, to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com.
Before we go, I'd like to remind everyone that Jasmine and I are going to the Walker Stalker Convention.
November 1st
in Atlanta. And if you guys want to also be there,
or if you guys happen to be there, if you guys just want to go just to see us, oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
Yes, everyone's gonna come see us. You can go to walkerstalkercon.com and go buy tickets there.
Yep.
And once we come back from the show, we'll actually
dedicate a whole episode just to
a whole episode because we're gonna go meet all the stars of the Walking Dead TV show. So that's going to be pretty awesome. And yeah, we're going to bring you photos. We'll put photos on our Facebook page.
We might even make a YouTube channel for some
videos. We don't know if Yeah, we might have some videos too. So again, send answer the questions for today's episode at talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com.
And as always, this is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
Stay alive.